Thank you so much for coming to the afternoon service here at Steadfast Baptist Church. If you didn't already get your seat, go ahead and please find a seat and go ahead and get your hymnals out. We're going to sing our first song this evening, 374 in our hymnals. If you'd please take your seats, we'll start our afternoon service. We're going to start with song 374, Send the Light, 374. If you are sitting next to somebody that doesn't have a hymnal, make sure to share with them so that way they can see as well. Send the Light, 374. And the first.
There's a call comes ringing o'er the restless wave. Send the light, send the light. There are souls to rescue, there are souls to save. Send the light, send the light. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine forevermore. We have heard the Macedonian call today. Send the light, send the light. And a golden offering at the cross we lay. Send the light, send the light. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine forevermore. Let us pray that grace may everywhere abound. Send the light, send the light. And a Christ-like spirit everywhere be found. Send the light, send the light.
Pray again this evening. Thank you, Heavenly Father, so much for our church and for gathering us here for this evening service. I pray that you just bless our singing and our service time. Please bless the preaching. Please allow us to continue to send the light. And we just thank you for all you give us. And it's just in your name we pray, Jesus' name. Amen. We'll go to our second song, 232 for the evening. Tell me the story of Jesus, song 232. Tell me the story of Jesus. And the first.
Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell of the Jesus, ride on my that was triumphant at last. Tell of the years of his labor, tell of the sorrow he bore. He was despised and afflicted, homeless, rejected, and poor. Tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, that ever was heard. Tell of the cross where they nailed him, writhing in anguish and pain. Tell of the grave where they laid him. Tell how he liveth again. Love in that story so tender, clearer than ever I see.
Great singing. Again, if you didn't get a bulletin or you need an extra one, just lift up your hand nice and high. We are working on Jonah for the entire chapter for our memory verse. And I forgot this morning about the prizes from our last memory chapter, but I have them with me. So for any of you that did quote Psalm 59 from the last one, we've got a $25 gift card. We have a lot of different ones, so I'm gonna kind of stack them up here for a second, and we'll let you guys come down here. But if you quoted the Psalm 59 to a non-family member, and you did that, you can come on down and you can pick something. So come on down. If that's it's got to be somebody, right? Oh, there we go. All right, come on down. The old-fashioned altar. All right, let's give them a round of applause. Okay. All right, and so you're rewarded with a nice little treat there, prize, but of course the best prize is memorizing the Bible, and of course for those who can memorize Jonah chapter 2, we'll also have a prize or award for them as well, and so highly encourage you. This is a reward to coming to Sunday night church. You didn't even know. You just thought it was all going to be the same, but choices. All right, good one, good pick. All right, thank you. Yep. I'll still hand those out for Wednesday night and next Sunday, just for those that weren't able to make it. But if you can quote Jonah 2, there will be a prize for that as well. And then on the inside, we have our service times, soul winning times, church stats. Make sure you're turning those numbers into your soul winning captains, your maps back into the bins. That really helps us. On the right, we have the list of expecting ladies and prayer list. And then we have the baby announcement to congratulate the Villarreals on the birth of Adam Pablo, born on the 10th, 3:01 a.m., 7 pounds, 9 ounces, 21 and quarter inches long. Congratulations to them. I notice that these babies always like to come in just random, really wee hours of the night. Isn't that nice of them? And then on the back, we have the upcoming events. Again, we have the Heritage of the Lord Conference. A lot of the conference will be to try and encourage some of the youth. And so we'll have some youth events and some children's events and some children's songs and different things. But I do encourage everybody to participate, even you young singles. Please, if you want to, we could really use you guys to help for the services and some of the events and things like that. So I might even ask for some you guys to help us volunteer, because we're going to have Friday, we're going to have some events here at the church that it would be nice to have some extra volunteers to help with the kids and wrangling them. So also, we have several events as far as soul winning and other things that we'd like for you guys to participate in. So I'm excited to have the conference and have some of our friends come out and preach for us. And so encourage you to be here and participate in that event. Of course, if you'd also like to participate with us October 31st, we have a Texas chili cook-off, and we give out prizes for our top results in that. And so if you'd like to participate in the competition, you just have to bring a chili before 6 p.m., and it's Texas chili rules. You can look this up online. It's not even a Steadfast thing. It's just a Texas thing and a true thing, so you can find it. But it's basically just no fillers. So, and one of those fillers is beans. And people get really mad at me about this. And it's like, it's not that I don't like beans. It's just I don't want the beans in the chili for the competition, you know? So it's like, I'm not against works. I just don't want it in with my salvation. You know what I mean? Like, we just don't mix these things. You know, I don't put chocolate in my chili. Some people do, okay? So they say that's the secret. I don't know. You know, it's weird, but I don't put gummy bears. You know, there's a lot of things I don't put in there, okay? And so, you know, it's a true Texas chili cook-off, and we want people to participate in that. Also, we'll be playing games and stuff. So if you just want to bring your favorite board game, card game, or something like that, we'll have tables out. You can fellowship, have a good time with us. We usually do a lot of fun things. November 16th is going to be a soul winning marathon in the area of the greater area of Miami. And so if you'd like to participate, I hear that November is a great time to visit. Weather's usually really, really nice. And of course, there's about 6 million people in the greater Miami metro. And so it's definitely a great opportunity to go out and probably a very receptive area if you go into the poor areas. And so I encourage you to participate if you'd like to do that as well. That's pretty much all I have as far as announcements. Let's go ahead and sing our Psalm of the Week, but we're doing kind of a special song, Where the Spirit Blows. It's in our special handouts. Sang it this morning. Where the Spirit Blows. And maybe it'll help you kids wake up a little bit, but on our last We Will Go, we want you to yell out nice and loud, go, okay? I want all you kids to practice with me, all right? So we're going to say we will, and then we're going to go, go! We're going to do it really loud. You want to practice with me? Ready? Get your hand up, all right? We will go! All right, now you can do better than that. Come on. All right, let's do it again, ready? We will go! All right, that's what you're going to do, okay? All right, where the Spirit blows. There on the first. Jesus told me over land and sea, red, black, and white, sweet in His sight. Where the Spirit blows, we will go, 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 go. Where the Spirit blows, we will go. Yellow and brown to every town, not just the Jews. Let's go in twos, where the Spirit blows. We will go, 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 go. Where the Spirit blows, we will go. Father, Spirit, Son, these three are one. Holy Trinity, always with me. Where the Spirit blows, we will go. Go, go, go. Where the Spirit blows, we will go. We bison fell. Guys, all right, let's go ahead and turn in our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 25, and we'll pass the offering plate once again if we missed you. Proverbs chapter 25, turn in your Bibles and follow along, and the Bible reader will read the entire chapter before we start our sermon.
Proverbs chapter 25, the Bible says, "These are also Proverbs of Solomon, which the men of Hezekiah, king of Judah, copied out. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter. The heaven for height and the earth for depth, and the heart of kings is unsearchable. Take away the dross from the silver, and there shall come forth a vessel for the finer. Take away the wicked from before the king, and his throne shall be established in righteousness. Put not forth thyself in the presence of the king, and stand not in the place of great men. For better it is that it be said unto thee, Come up hither, than that thou shouldest be put lower in the presence of the prince whom thine eyes have seen. Go not forth hastily to strife, lest thou know not what to do in the end thereof, when thy neighbor hath put thee to shame. Debate thy cause with thy neighbor himself, and discover not a secret to another. Lest he that heareth it put thee to shame, and thine infamy turn not away. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. As an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold, so is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. As the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him, for he refresheth the soul of his masters. Whoso boasteth himself of a false gift is like clouds and wind without rain. By long forbearing is a prince persuaded, and a soft tongue breaketh the bone. Hast thou found honey? Eat so much as is sufficient for thee, lest thou be filled therewith and vomit it. Withdraw thy foot from thy neighbor's house, lest he be weary of thee, and so hate thee. A man that beareth false witness against his neighbor is a maul and a sword and a sharp arrow. Confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. As he that taketh away a garment in cold weather, and as vinegar upon nitre, so is he that singeth songs to a heavy heart. If thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat, and if he be thirsty, give him water to drink. For thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee. The north wind driveth away rain, so doth an angry countenance a backbiting tongue. It is better to dwell in the corner of an housetop than with a brawling woman and in a wide house. As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. A righteous man falling down before the wicked is as a troubled fountain and a corrupt spring. It is not good to eat much honey. So for men to search their own glory is not glory. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls." Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Just want to thank you for the gift of salvation and for the Bible. I ask you to bless Pastor Shelley now, fill him with your Holy Spirit, help him to preach the word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I want to kind of look at this last part of the proverb here, verse 28 again. It says, "He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls." And this proverb is giving just some general wisdom. And what I always say, and I'll always continue to say, is that God uses carnal truths to expound spiritual truths. And the Bible is likening a person with their spirit to a city that is in a bad condition. Not having rule over your own spirit is in the context of having a lack of self-control, not being able to tell yourself no. And this is a bad thing. It'll cause you to perform many excesses and destroy yourself. It's leading you down a path of destruction. It's leading you down a path of ultimate ruin. That's what it's saying a city is like. A city that doesn't have walls or is broken, it's going to be destroyed. It has an inevitable failure. And so I think from this particular proverb, of course, there's a lot of spiritual wisdom that we can gain. But we should at least be able to recognize the carnal wisdom that's being taught in this particular proverb, and that is that there's nothing wrong with walls. There's nothing wrong with a city not allowing everybody to enter into the city indiscriminately. And unfortunately, we have strange views out there today on immigration. And you know, I've been preaching a sermon series kind of on controversial sermon topics, and I'm going to continue that with the sermon this evening, and I want to talk about immigration. And immigration is a very controversial topic, but I've titled my sermon this, "Let Them Eat Cats." Okay? Now, who knows what I'm talking about already? All right. There's a town in America, Springfield, Ohio, where a large percentage of Haitian immigrants have been dropped off in the most recent timeline. And they're going around, and supposedly they're eating a lot of dogs and cats, okay? Now, I got this title. That's part of the reason why I came up with this title. Another thing that's interesting is if you study French history, the aristocracy was so out of touch that there's this famous quote by one of the queens that says, "Let them eat cake." And I've kind of looked up the veracity of that claim. Some people speculate that she may not have said this. Some people aren't sure. But at least it's a well-known quote. And it's this idea that this rich queen sitting in her palace while her peasants are starving, and she's brought one of her stewards that comes under her and says, the people are frustrated. They are going to storm the castle. They're going to overthrow the government because they're so hungry. And she's like, well, why don't we just let them eat cake? And it's just kind of this funny statement to show that she's so out of touch, she doesn't understand that they're starving because of their bad governmental policies. The things that they're doing are ruining the food for everybody else. And she just makes the statement because she lives such a privileged life and she knows no other. Let them eat cake. Like, why are they starving? Why are they frustrated? Why can't they just eat cake? Now, cake in times past really just kind of meant bread. A lot of times people in times past, they made cakes. You'll see in the Bible when you talk about, I believe one of the widows is making food for the prophet, she makes some little cakes. She bakes little cakes. It wasn't what we typically think of a cake, like a birthday cake. It's more of kind of what we think of like cornbread or a small little biscuit sandwich or something, and it's being described as cake because for the majority of people throughout history, they ate bread. I mean, there's a reason why the Lord's Prayer is give us this day our daily bread. It's because most people have survived solely on bread as their primary source of food. If you think about it, it comes from wheat. Wheat can be made in abundance. It can be stored in grain. It can be stored in flour. And it's preserved for the entire year. You don't have to have any specific season to necessarily have bread. Bread is one of the easiest things to have all year based on the way that it's created and can be stored as flour. And so most people have eaten bread there to survive throughout history. That's not the only thing we eat, of course. We eat meats, we eat vegetables, fruits. I've seen this interesting map online of history. It's kind of interesting. And it's like this line that goes through Europe. And it's like the southern part of Europe is known as tomatoes. And then the northern part of Europe is known as potatoes. And they basically kind of make this joke that the northern part of Europe survived on potatoes for centuries, and the southern side has survived on tomatoes. So when you think of Italy, what do you think of their dishes typically consistent of? You know, pastas and marinara sauce and a lot of tomato dishes, bruschetta, all these different famous tomato dishes. You look at the northern parts, they have potato soup, and they have all kinds of different potato-style dishes, casseroles, shepherd's pie, things like that, you know, based on their climate and based on their environment. People need food. And of course, if you just bring in a bunch of extra people into an area and you don't have the infrastructure, you don't have the food source for those people, you could put them in a precarious situation. And really, frankly speaking, we have a lot of out-of-touch politicians and politicians that frankly don't care or are actually causing problems on purpose. But you look at people like Kamala Harris, you would think like she doesn't really know what's going on. She probably has no idea. Our government probably has no idea. And they flood our areas with all kinds of illegal immigrants into our country, and it causes problems. Those people need to eat. And for people that are not very cultured, they don't have a Western mindset. They don't live in a lot of civility. They've lived in, you know, ruins, or they've lived in impoverished situations. They look at every animal's food. And so they see a fat cat walking around in the alley, and they're just thinking, like, this is a good dish. Whereas to most of us, that would seem really foul and kind of confusing. Most of us don't really eat cats, okay? I'm not going to get a raise of hands or anything like that, all right? But I want you to go to Leviticus chapter 11. Let's look what the Bible says on this topic a little bit. But I wanted to explain that I didn't just come up with this title randomly, that there's a little bit of meaning. And again, when we talk about immigration, It's important to understand that sometimes governments can use immigration as a weapon or a tool against its own citizens. And by knocking down walls, proverbially speaking, that can cause a lot of problems. Immigration is a serious foreign policy issue for every country. We have to consider what our immigration policy is going to be. But, you know, before I get there, I also want to address the idea of food. And according to the Bible, in Leviticus chapter number 11, it kind of outlines a lot of different animals and what animals are clean and unclean. I think this is interesting. Look at verse 27. Whatsoever goeth upon his paws among all manner of beasts that go on all four, those are unclean unto you. Whoso toucheth their carcass shall be unclean until even. In the Old Testament, animals that walked on their paws were considered unclean animals. And therefore, the Old Testament saints would have not been permitted to eat anything on their paws. This would include dogs and cats. So historically speaking, these would have been an unclean animal or an unclean beast. Go if you would to Acts chapter number 10 now. Go to Acts chapter number 10. And yet, in the New Testament, technically speaking, in 1 Timothy chapter number 4, there is no prohibition now on unclean animals. In fact, Peter is challenged with this and with a vision by God. Acts chapter number 10 gives us a verse here I want to look at, verse number 28. He sees a vision of unclean beasts. God tells him, Peter, rise, slay, and eat. And he's like, I've never eaten anything like this. I'm not going to do this. But God tells him three times. And then later it's described here. Look at verse 28. And he said unto them, ye know how that it is unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Later, when Peter interprets the vision for us, he says the spiritual understanding of those unclean animals was actually talking about people, and that those people were not to be called common or unclean. And so there's a little bit of a getting away from racism in the New Testament. And strangely enough, I've heard that the racism in the Bible was against Jews, but really the racism in the Bible is against Gentiles, if you actually understood. It's actually telling people you shouldn't have this idea that Jews are better than non-Jews. And so the actual mindset of the Bible is actually what we have in today's world too, where people think that Jews are more special than Gentiles, and we're not supposed to have that viewpoint. We're on the same level, we're on the same playing field as God intended. So technically speaking, cats and dogs are just as available as a food source as beef. Now that's strange. I know you probably don't like what I just said. Let me explain it again. Eating a dog or a cat is just as acceptable biblically in the New Testament as eating a cow. And I know you don't see many Chick-fil-A signs like this, but I'm just trying to be honest with you that there is technically nothing wrong with eating a dog or a cat, spiritually speaking, okay? But I'm not recommending that either, okay? Don't hear me wrong, okay? We're not about to have a dog barbecue, okay? We're not going to be like, does anybody have any stray pets that we can round up or anything like that? But, hey, I want to make something clear. If it's the end times and you can't buy or sell and you see Fido over there, I'm not going to be judging you, okay? I won't condemn you, okay? And you might even need some, hey, Haitian, how do you cook this thing? I don't even know what's going on with this, okay? You might even need to pick up some tips, okay? That being said, though, you know, it's kind of an unnecessary thing of today, and they're a little gamey, they're a little weird, they're probably a more unclean animal, carnally speaking, as the Bible describes them. I think we should be eating more a diet based on a lot of the clean animals. You know, when we talk about cows and sheep and things like that, they're a better food source. I like it. It's more normal, okay? So I'm all for that, all right? I'm not necessarily into all the strange meat, the gamey meat, all that other stuff. But, you know, I can't condemn somebody for eating it because, you know, if you like squirrel, you're from Arkansas, right? No, I'm just kidding. If you like squirrel, it is what it is. I mean, there are people that eat all kinds of weird stuff. Eat snake, squirrel. I've had quail. I've had rabbit. Who's had rabbit? Who liked rabbit? Okay, a lot of hands. No, I'm just kidding. I mean, I've had all kinds of strange animals. I've never had a squirrel, okay. But technically speaking, there's nothing wrong with eating these animals. You know, I think that God created certain animals to be a self-replicating food source that really ebbs and flows with the infrastructure. It's called chickens. Because chickens are cheap, and you can really mass produce chickens to meet demand, and they're good. It's healthy, lean meat. Plus, you can get eggs from it. Like, chickens are a great source of excess food. I think that cats is not really the best option, okay? It's kind of a weird scenario. It's kind of a barbaric scenario. And, you know, God wants us to be a smart, sophisticated, wise people. I think when you see a bunch of people just walking around eating stray cats and dogs, you're kind of on the decline of society. And you're probably headed down a wrong path. And I'm not, again, that's my personal opinion. I do want to make it clear. But technically speaking, there's nothing wrong with eating these animals. Now, I do want to make a couple other things clear, though. Go to Numbers chapter 25. Let's go to Numbers chapter 25. We're talking about immigration. So is there a problem? If a Haitian comes to America and eats a stray cat, is that really the biggest problem? You know, in my, you know, honestly, when I go soul winning, sometimes I wish there was less cats and dogs anyways. Yeah. So, like, it doesn't really bother me that much. Now, if I went over to their house and they served that to me, you know, I'm not going to be that into it, okay? So I wouldn't really want to eat that. Please don't serve that to me. That's not Texas chili, okay? You'll be disqualified, right, from that particular situation. But, you know, really, and you know, is there anything wrong with a Haitian coming to America? No, because, you know, God's not a respecter of persons. God's not into this ethnic or race ideology that our society has, where he doesn't like certain nations or something like that. But here's the thing. Not all immigrants are the same. Not all foreigners are the same. And really what God does care about, though, is the ideology or the religious beliefs of the people. And he wanted to keep Israel a pure nation ideologically. God didn't really care as much about it being pure from a genetic perspective or a specific ethnicity. But God wanted to keep Israel as a clean nation from an ideological perspective and from a religious perspective. And you know, if we were going to have a successful nation, we need to make sure that we're maintaining a religious ideology and a religious continuity and a religious purity. The more Christian a nation is going to be, the more successful and blessed it will be. The less Christian a nation, the more cursed and the more problems and the less liberty it will have. I believe that if you were to study any nation in America, I'm sorry, in the world, including America, any nation, and you were to evaluate individual liberty and individual prosperity, where Christianity is the strongest, those are always the best, and where Christianity is the worst, they're always the worst. Right. I mean, let's just think of some nations for a second. What would be probably the worst place to be if you're a Christian? North Korea. North Korea. Let's evaluate personal liberty and personal prosperity. How's that going in North Korea right now? What will be some other countries? Now, again, I want to contrast that with another country because here's the thing. North Korea itself is probably also not necessarily the most powerful nation in the world. It's probably on the bottom edge of the list. And I know they have potential nuclear warheads and stuff like that. But let's just be honest. I don't think very many nations are afraid of North Korea taking over their nation, maybe bombing it, but not necessarily taking over it. It's not really a superpower. But what about China? China is a very strong nation as a whole. They wield a lot of power. They have a lot of influence. You could argue that they have a lot of prosperity. But from an individual perspective, let's measure it. Does China offer a lot of individual freedom and a lot of individual prosperity? No. Why? Because they're not a Christian nation. And the nations that have the most Christianity, or perhaps are coming from a heritage of a Christian foundation, are going to always be the ones that have the most individual freedom and individual prosperity. That's why everybody wants to live in America, because they want that individual freedom and liberty, and they want that individual prosperity that comes from the blessing of a Christian nation. Right. Now, as our nation declines in its Christian heritage and our laws continue to degrade, of course, that liberty and that prosperity is degrading with it. But generally speaking, show me a nation that's better right now. Show me a country that people are wanting to flock to. Here's another nation that's horrible. How about India? Not a Christian nation, not a Christian worldview, not a Christian system. Terrible individual liberty, terrible individual prosperity. And really, it just stinks in every sense of the word.
Right.
And so if you were to really evaluate, why is a nation good? Christianity. Why is a nation bad? The lack of Christianity. It's always the case. It just proves the Bible true so much. And I mean, if you just look at American history in general, America was founded on immigrants. We just have to be honest. America was founded on immigrants. If you go back a couple hundred years, it's Native Americans living in this land. And let me ask you this. When the pilgrims and all the early settlers and the immigrants came to America, did they come to a nation that was thriving with businesses and roads and military and airplanes and all this stuff? No. They came and there was nothing. It was just basically raw material. It was trees and buffalo and a couple other wild game. In fact, I don't know if you understand this, but cattle did not exist in America. Cattle was brought over from Europe into America. Many crops that we have today, like corn, were brought from Europe into America. America was just fertile soil, ready for someone to cultivate, and a lot of religious zealots came here and started cultivating the land and building a society. At the time that America was being early, you know, developed and founded, let's talk about the 1600s, let's compare them to other nations like China, Russia, many European countries. If you were to look at them on a chart, you would say they're way behind. All these other nations have way more infrastructure, way more history, way more people, all of these different things. They're way ahead of America. But then if you fast forward a couple hundred years, America's now a superpower and they're not. Why is that? I mean, think about it. If you're running a marathon and someone's already 10 miles down the road and you just now start, how in the world are you going to beat them in the race? You know why we beat them all in the race? Because of Christianity.
Yep.
Another testament that Christianity is the best way to build a nation.
That's right.
It's the best way to model our laws. And generally speaking, we were welcoming all kinds of people. We were welcoming people that were from Ireland, from UK, from Germany, from France, from Spain, all over Europe, people were flooding to America in the 1600s, 1700s. But let me explain something to you. They had religious continuity. They were coming to a nation that was going to have religious liberty and was going to be based on Christian laws. They weren't coming here to be Hindus. They weren't coming here to be Muslims. They weren't coming here to be Catholic. They were coming here to be an evangelical Christian. That's where they were coming here to be. They weren't coming here to be atheist either. And that's how our nation was formed. That's how our nation was founded. That was what the laws were based on. So if you're going to say, I'm against immigration, you would have to be against the nation of America. Because America was founded by immigrants. But let me make something clear. Christian immigrants. It was not founded on, let's just get a bunch of random people from random nations and put them here. You know what that is? That's Australia, which is a prison colony. Australia was founded as a prison colony. Instead of executing criminals like they should, and instead of actually punishing people according to law, they took all of their worst citizens and put them in Australia. And it's basically been a party island for the last few hundred years. And really, if you go to Australia, it's a party island. There's really not anything to show for it. They're not some superpower. They don't really have any military might. In fact, they just gave their guns up. I mean, I guess they still have a prison mentality. I don't know what's going on over there. But again, there's more kangaroos than there are people, too. And they pretty much all live near the coast, within about a five-mile radius is like the entire population of Australia, even though Australia is as big as America virtually. If you were to look at it on a map, Australia, geographically speaking, is about the same size as America, yet they only have, I think, 27, 28 million people, something like that. You can fact check me, but it's around that number. They have about 50 million kangaroos, about 26 to 28 million people. And, you know, they're not even that far off. I think maybe they're a little further behind as far as the timeline of when they were settled and when they started. But they're not that far behind, but they're just so far behind America. Why? Because they're not a Christian nation either, in a sense.
Right.
They were a British colony, and they had Christian laws coming from that. but they weren't founded by people that were coming there for religious liberty. They weren't people coming there saying, we want to worship the God of the Bible. You see the Catholics conquering the Philippines. You see the Catholics conquering Mexico. Why is it? I mean, the Catholics conquered Mexico and established that part of the world just around the same timeline as America being formed. But why is Mexico not the superpower of the world? Because Catholicism is a false religion. Because Catholicism is a bad ideology. And it did not bless that area. Hey, Texas had many battles with Mexico, and we won. Praise God. Praise God that we're not all speaking Spanish and under the rule of Catholics. Now, again, if you speak Spanish, I'm not against you. I'm just saying, God bless the English tongue. Because you know what? I have a King James Bible in my hand. Praise God for the blessings that we have. I want you to understand that if you just study history at all, if you just think about these facts, there's a reason why America is blessed and successful. It's because of Christianity, not immigrants. We could look at all manner of examples of immigration and different nations conquering different nations, and the success was not bringing in foreign people. The success was the Bible, whether that be the Philippines, whether that be Mexico, whether it be Australia, whether it be, hey, Canada, conquered by the French. They're always lame, aren't they? I mean, what French colonies are prosperous and successful that they conquered? I mean, they conquered large portions of Africa. They conquered New Caledonia, I think, or Caledonia over near Australia. They conquered Canada. They're just kind of weak and lame. And again, the French were not zealous for the things of the Bible or for Christianity, historically speaking. You notice that these nations are just very different. The French conquering, the Spanish conquering, and the British conquering. The British are the closest to the Bible and Christianity, and their nations are the best. What are the nations that Britain has conquered also? How about South Africa? What is probably the best country in Africa? Again, I'm just generally speaking, in South Africa. The most developed, the most sophisticated, the most educated. They actually have a lot of accomplishments. I mean, South Africa has accomplished a lot, developed a lot. Why? Well, Britain got a hold of them. You look at all the areas that the French, it's there's not a lot to speak for, okay? Why? Because of the religion that they brought, folks. We have to just be honest for a second and say, immigration, there's nothing wrong with it. But what's bad is importing false religion. And what's good is importing true religion. And all the areas where true religion has been brought have been greatly blessed and enhanced. All the areas where it hasn't been, it's horrible. A lot of people talk negatively about slavery, and you know, slavery's a wicked evil. There's nothing good about slavery. But it's interesting, instead of all of the black people in America wanting to go back to Africa, what they want is more money. Isn't it interesting? I mean, if slavery was so bad for all these people, and they were taken away from their homeland, why don't they want to go back? I mean, how many black people are saying, like, I can't wait to go back to Northern Africa where my ancestors were captured and sold by other black people, sorry to tell you the truth, to Jews who drove the ships over here and then sold them. Now they love America. Why? Because for many of them, that was the best thing that could possibly happen to them, is being sold into slavery and coming to a Christian nation and hearing the gospel and getting saved. Right. And a lot of black people have gotten saved as a result of being imported into America. So even though the Jews were trying to make money off of them and were wicked, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. Amen. I mean, what would be better? Just keep living in these weird tribal situations in Africa and being slaughtering each other and saying ooga booga, or getting sold into slavery, coming to America, someone teaching you English and educating you, you hearing the gospel and getting saved? Oh man, you were a slave, sure. I'm against slavery. I'm not pro-slavery. But you know what? For many people, that was the best thing that ever happened. Right. Is it interesting that America is one of the first nations to actually get rid of slavery? Why? Because of our Christian heritage. And even today, there's still slavery going on in the world. Yet, many people want to tell you that America is the worst nation and we have the worst heritage, when in fact, we have the best heritage, right, and we made many of the best decisions. Does that mean we're perfect? No. Does that mean there weren't bad people? Of course there were. But you have to understand that immigration, when we think about these concepts, it's important to think about what religion are we importing. And when you import false religion, It causes problems for an area. When you import people that want to get saved or with the right religion, it greatly improves the area. Now, the children of Israel are going to go and inherit the promised land. This is an important concept that's constantly brought up in the Bible about immigration and about different people dwelling among them. And they're not all the same. Cosby is not the same as Ruth. And let's contrast these two ladies. Look at Numbers 25, look at verse number 4. And the Lord said unto Moses, take all the heads of the people and hang them up before the Lord against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel. And Moses said unto the judges of Israel, slay ye every one his men that were joined unto Baal Peor. And behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren a Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel, who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, he rose up from among the congregation, and he took a javelin in his hand, and he went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman through her belly. So the plague was stayed from the children of Israel, and those that died in the plague were 24,000. So the children of Israel commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab, according to the Bible. That's what it says in verse 1. They ate their weird meals and their sacrifices and their false gods, and they joined themselves into Baal Peor, and God kills all the men that joined themselves into Baal Peor. He plagues the children of Israel, and it takes the man of God going in there and literally stabbing and killing one of the men and this woman that he was committing fornication with, and that's when the plague was stayed. But notice 24,000 people died in this particular plague. And God is very clear. He doesn't want them intermingling with this group of people. And being with this group of people, it causes a curse unto them. It causes problems unto them. And if you skip down, go to verse 12. Wherefore say, behold, I will give unto him my covenant of peace, and he shall have it in his seed after him. Even the covenant of an everlasting priesthood, talking about Phinehas. Because he was zealous for his God and made an atonement for the children of Israel. Now the name of the Israelite that was slain, even that was slain with the Midianitish woman, was Zimri, the son of Salu, a prince of a chief house among the Simeonites. And the name of the Midianitish woman that was slain was Cosby, the daughter of Zur. He was head over a people and of a chief house in Midian. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, vex the Midianites and smite them, for they vex you with their wiles, wherewith they have beguiled you in the matter of Peor and in the matter of Cosby, the daughter of a prince of Midian, their sister, which was slain in the day of the plague for Peor's sake. So here's the problem. You have the Midianites mixing with the children of Israel and specifically teaching them about their false god, mixing with them and causing them to be drawn away from the Lord unto false religion. And the Bible is saying that they are going to vex you with their wiles. They're beguiling you. They're tricking you. They're deceiving you. They're drawing you away. And the Lord said we're supposed to smite them. Now again, in the New Testament, we don't really have a commandment, especially on an individual level, to smite anybody, and we're not going to smite anybody. But generally speaking, we as God's people should stay away from and not intermingle with the heathen, with the unsaved. It's not about being Haitian or Jamaican or Bahamian or being African or being Asian or any other or European. It doesn't matter about those heritages. In fact, there's nothing wrong with one particular demographic marrying another demographic. I've already preached that. Many people got mad at me. They're like, the most boomer take I've ever heard. And I'm just thinking like, yeah, a lot of boomers are super into race mixing. I'm pretty sure most of the boomers were members of the KKK, folks, okay? So I don't know, I don't even know what you're talking about, number one. My grandparents were racist. I'm just gonna be honest with you, okay? And I love them, and there's nothing wrong with them. They were nice people, but they were racist, okay? And I'm not racist. And a lot of people are still racist. In fact, I guarantee the boomers are more racist than most of us, generally speaking. It's weird to think that boomers are the ones that are okay with, quote, race mixing. But I've already proved in previous sermons there's no such thing as race anyways. Race is a man-made, made-up thing. But what's not good is mixing ideologies. And many times also what comes with ideologies is cultures. And when you're mixing weird ideologies and cultures, it can be disastrous results. And God is warning, don't mix with Cosby. Don't mix with these particular Midianites. They are going to destroy you as the children of Israel. Now go to Ruth chapter 1. Let's contrast this, because here's the thing. The Midianites were not the only group of people that were warned against. They were not to mix with the Moabites as well. Ruth is a Moabitess. This is mixing, race mixing, or whatever you want to call it, which is silly because it doesn't exist. Now, you know, I've preached on this again. I'll just say it over and over because I like to be clear, but I don't believe in race. I think it's non-existent. I believe that when we consider who to marry, the most important thing is that they're saved. And I've married people that are of different demographics. I don't care. It's meaningless to me. I've never even asked them a question about it. And I think that it'd be wrong to condemn anybody that way. But if someone has that preference, I'm also not mad at them. And generally speaking, most people, whether they would admit it or not, have a tendency to want to marry people that have similar characteristics to them. They like similar cultures. They like similar demographics. Some people like different. But most of us, generally speaking, like to marry similar demographics. That's great. If you want to do that, go team. I'm for you. If you want to mix it up, I'm for you, okay? But at the end of the day, what we don't want to do is condemn things that are not in the Bible condemned. We don't want to have this take. And you say, oh, that's not popular. We need to save the white race. Well, you know, frankly speaking, most of the worst people in America are white. Let's just be honest. I mean, who's like the worst people in America? I'm thinking like Joe Biden, Hillary Clinton, Bill Gates, Mark Zuckerberg. I mean, like, of course there's people like Kamala, but Kamala's not in charge of anything, folks. She's a puppet. She's bad in the fact that she's willing to be a puppet, but she's not running the show. She's not the one calling the shots. She's not coming with all the plans. She doesn't even know anything. She can hardly even repeat the lines that they give her to speak, okay? If we were to really look at the evil in this world, it's a lot of white people. And a lot of people get confused. They think, like, well, white people built society. No, you know who built society? Christians. Now, of course, our nation, there was a tight coupling between being white and being a Christian. So people get confused about that topic. But it wasn't white people that made America great. It was Christians that made America great. Hey, there's a lot of white people in Iceland. And they're atheists. And they're feminists. And I don't want them in my country or nation. I don't want to be near them. It's not like, oh, well, there's all these white people. They're just magically great. That's a lie. Yeah. And it would be also a lie to say, well, this person's not white, therefore they're not good. Well, you know what? We have a lot of people in this church that are not white, and I love them. Some of our best members are not white. Some of my closest friends are not white. It's not about skin color. And I get so frustrated at people that want to oversimplify and just be like, we need to just be white again or something. That is not the solution to America. The solution to America is Christianity.
Right.
And it always will be Christianity. And if you don't like non-white people, you're not going to like heaven very much. Because let's be honest, when we go out soul winning, we get way more non-white saved.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I'm just being honest with you. Right. I got somebody non-white saved today, all right? There. Enjoy that. Most people I get saved are not very white. And it's not that I don't want to get white people saved. Hey, take me to the neighborhood that's white and receptive. Does it even exist? I don't know. I mean, I'm willing to go there. But let's be honest. The areas that are darker are a lot better for soul winning. They're a lot more receptive. There's probably going to be a white minority in heaven. Sorry to burst your bubble. But I'm not against white people. I love white people. But I also like black people. And I like everything in between. And when it comes to our nation, there's a difference between Cosby and Ruth. And it's not like one's from a better nation than the other. Here's the difference, their belief system. That's the difference. That's what makes Ruth different. Look at Ruth chapter 1, verse 12. Turn again, my daughters, go away. This is Naomi talking to her daughters-in-law. For I am too old to have an husband. If I should say, I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. So Naomi's older. We don't know the age. but just kind of to the point where most men, if not all men, are just not interested in marrying her at this point. And it's just not very likely that she's going to be able to have another child. And who wants to wait another 20 years or something to get married again? And her sons had died. So she's trying to say, like, you guys need to just go find someone else. Just go back. Don't worry about me. And they lifted up their voice, verse 14, and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Notice Ruth has a different perspective than her sister. Orpah goes back to her gods. We see that Ruth, she actually wants to go with the Lord, which is a different God than her God. She actually got converted. And you know, this is important. There's a lot of important lessons in this. Number one, many times wives will just go along with their husband without any real conviction. And you know, you should be careful, you ladies, to actually have your own conviction when it comes to the things of God. And not just go along because your husband's taking you to church here. You need to read the Bible for yourself. You need to be someone that loves the Lord yourself and actually follow what the Bible says. And would to God that the women in this church, if something, God forbid, happened to their husband, they would still go to a church like ours. They would still read the King James Bible. They would still dress the way that God would have them dress. That they're not going to go back to their gods, but rather they're going to say, no, I want the God of the Bible. No, I want the King James Bible. But this is the type of people that we should import into our nation is Ruth. Amen. We want more Ruths in our nation. Now, Ruth is a foreigner. Ruth is an immigrant. But you know what we like about Ruth? That she likes God. That she wants to be a Christian. We should import as many Ruths as we can possibly have. But you know what? We don't want Cosbys in our nation. And it's not about ethnicity. It's not about race. It's not about looks. It's about what do they believe. Here's the thing. I'm not against Haitians coming to our nation. But we shouldn't just import people into our nation when they don't want to be a Christian. We should only want Christians in our nation. It causes problems when you import foreign religion into a nation. Go back to Numbers chapter 33 for a moment. Go to Numbers chapter 33. Our immigration policy should be to only import people that share the same values or are willing, at least at the minimum, to tolerate the Christian laws that we have. We should go back to a system where our laws are based on Christian faith and that those who are sojourning among us are willing to accept Christian laws and are willing to live under a Christian system. It makes no sense to tolerate and allow for false religion in our nation. I know that a lot of people like to twist some of the religious liberty aspects of our founding and our founding documents, but they were never intended to accommodate false religion. They were never intended to allow for false religion to creep into our nation. They weren't wanting atheism to creep in. And in many of our states, which people don't understand this, but many of our states, you had to profess faith in Jesus Christ to hold any office. Now, they may have let somebody of a false religion visit or show up or participate in some servitude manner, but they were not allowed to hold political office. They weren't allowed to affect the nation. They weren't allowed to religiously perform all of their practices when it violated clear Christian principles. You're not allowed to come here and have four wives just because you're a Muslim. And you know, even today, we're still not allowing that. But what's going to happen in the future? Are they going to start just saying, well, religious liberty, we're just going to let people do whatever? People are challenging the idea of abortion, saying, well, that's my satanic religion. Wow. Okay, yeah, it is a satanic religion. Abortion is satanic. Yeah. At least they're honest. Yeah. Hey, abortion's a religious belief of worshiping Satan. Yeah, of course it is, right? But why in the world would we allow that? You know, in Houston, they're erecting giant monkey statues to their false god. Wow. Why in the world are we allowing that? Yeah. Are we going to allow, I mean, would we allow a Hindu to maybe tour here and hear the gospel from somebody and temporarily just visit? Sure. I'm not against allowing tourists, but why in the world would we want to allow that person to erect giant monkey statues and bring the cursing of God to our nation?
Why do we allow mosques and synagogues and all these other false religions to build their temples and to build their wicked, ungodly sanctuaries in our holy land? That is bringing the curse of God into our nation. Why do we allow Planned Parenthoods to exist in our nation? It's wicked. There's a reason why there's a church on every corner. It's because we had a Christian heritage and people were Christian, and we should maintain that Christian spirit. Do we want the government to establish a particular denomination? No. We enjoy the freedoms of the separation from church and state. But we have to understand that the state should be filled with Christians. While those Christians, well, we should never have a church filled with politicians, but we should have a government filled with Christians. And we have to understand these balances. Of course, many of the Catholic church states and the Anglican church states, these were epic failures and really restricted the gospel of Jesus Christ. But at the same time, we don't want the cursing of God by tolerating and accepting false religion to be brought in. And of course, you know who understands this? The devil's ministers. They understand that what weakens a nation is importing false religion. And so they're constantly importing false religion into America for one reason, and that one reason is to cause Christianity to become weaker, and for our nation to become weaker, and to subdue them, because they understand their only threat is Christianity. You have to understand there's this constant war going on in the Bible and throughout history, and that is of Christianity versus the ministers of the devil against the synagogue of Satan. They are constantly at war with one another, and they both understand, hey, when Christianity is strong, well, they don't allow the synagogue of Satan to even exist in their borders. And when the synagogue of Satan is strong, well, they're going to constantly bring a bunch of Cosbys. They're going to bring a bunch of foreign and false religions and mix them with Christianity and weaken and water down Christianity. Because they understand that these two forces are at war and at odds with one another. And we need Christians and Americans to wake up and understand why our nation was strong and what will make us strong again, and that's Christianity. That is the King James Bible. And I'm not so mad about the Haitians eating cats. You know what I'm mad about? Them bringing their false religion with them. Bringing their voodoo with them. Bringing in their ooga booga with them. And their tribalism with them. You know, we want to import Christians into this nation, not non-Christians. And you know what? Every Haitian that wants to come to our nation and get saved or is saved, bring them in. I'll let them eat my cat. I don't have one, but you know. I'll serve them cats all day long, right? I don't even care about that. You know, we always get mad about the wrong thing. Everybody's so mad because they love animals so much, whereas they don't even understand that it's a religious war that we're in. There's a spiritual battle that is raging. And when you let these people in, what does the Bible say, verse 51? Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when you're passed over Jordan in the land of Canaan, then you shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you, and destroy all their pictures, and destroy all their molten images, and quite pluck down all their high places. And ye shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land and dwell therein, for I have given you the land to possess it. And ye shall divide the land by lot for an inheritance among your families. And to the more, ye shall give the more inheritance. And to the fewer, ye shall give the less inheritance. Every man's inheritance shall be in the place where his lot falleth. According to the tribes of your fathers, ye shall inherit. But if you will not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall come to pass that those which ye let remain of them shall be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your sides, and shall vex you in the land wherein ye dwell. Moreover, it shall come to pass that I shall do unto you as I thought to do unto them. He's saying, what I would like to do to Hindus, I'll just do it to you because you tolerate them. What I want to do to the Muslims, I'll do to you because you're tolerating them. What I would do to the Jews, to the synagogue of Satan, to the pedophiles and the human traffickers, I'll do to you because you're tolerating them. Woe unto a nation that's tolerating all of this wicked false religion just being brought into our nation and corrupting our nation, and the Christians are too afraid to speak out about it. In fact, the left of the evangelical world, the woke evangelicals today, they're sitting here saying, oh, we should be bringing these people in, and they're so wonderful. You know, because they don't care about real Christianity. They don't care about what the Bible says. They're bringing in Cosby into their tent. And people get confused on this, and I'm not saying that we shouldn't minister the gospel to these people. I'm not saying we shouldn't give some love to these people, but what we should not want is to import false religion into our country.
Right.
Go if you would to Exodus chapter number 12. Go to Exodus chapter number 12. And of course, they're vexing us by stealing your neighbor's cat and eating it. That's gross and weird, and it's just annoying. And you know, that's just the beginning. In Aurora, Colorado, there was like a Venezuelan gang that just like took over an entire apartment complex and just going from door to door with guns, and the cops won't respond to these calls. Law enforcement's not interested in getting engaged with giant hordes of Venezuelan gang members. And how about the women and children that get caught in a bad situation and now they're being taken advantage of? Horrible things are happening to them because you just have a gang war take over large sections of the city. You know, in the COVID era, we had a section, I think it was in Seattle, where they just took over a whole portion of the city. It's like Chad or Chaz or something. Who knows what I'm talking about? What was it, Chaz?
Yes.
Chop? They just kept, I don't know what it was called. They just like took over a whole portion of the city. That's insane. And the cops, they were like facilitating it. They were like helping it. It's weird. It's weird what's happening in their world. A city without walls is going to be destroyed, folks. And again, some people think like, okay, let's build the wall. You don't need to build a wall. You know, you need a proverbial wall like Leviticus 20:13. Like putting murderers to death. Like putting rapists to death. And in fact, you know, Donald Trump is kind of famous for saying this about talking about immigrants from Mexico. He's like, they're sending rapists. Well, if we have the death penalty for rapists, I'm thinking like, great, well, as soon as we catch them, we'll just put them to death. You know, we'll just, basically, it's just that like mosquito trap that we're just going to put out there. As soon as they cross the border, we'll just catch them. And instead of sending them back, we'll put them to death for you. You know, what to God, that would be the situation. A lot of people would stop immigrating. A lot of people would stop coming across the border. But, you know, of course, their government's corrupt. They're working with the cartels. Of course, this is a complicated issue. Yada, yada, yada. I get it. Of course, fake Catholics are using their NGOs to smuggle children, do human trafficking. Horrible things that are happening with the immigration situation. And, you know, I'm not mad at immigrants because, you know, we've had illegal people come to our church. Great people. I love them. Our government has made the visa process very difficult for people to get married, and even though they're trying to do everything legally, they made it very difficult for people, and I feel empathetic towards those situations. And I don't even, you know, if I had a illegal that I knew, I would love on that person to give them the gospel. But generally speaking, you know, we shouldn't just be allowing people to just come into our nation for no reason. People should only be coming to our nation for a purpose, in my opinion. If they don't have a job, if they don't have a spouse, they probably shouldn't be here. And I think that all of you agree, because I don't think any of you just open the front door of your house and just say anybody can come in. But you probably let a lot of people come into your house. Why? Because there's a purpose. They're there to fix the AC unit. They're there to have dinner with your family. They're there for a purpose. You're not just letting people indiscriminately just show up and come into your house. That's insane. That's weird. That would never be successful. If you literally just put on the front door of your house, anybody can come in and do whatever they want and just open the door, you're going to be destroyed quickly. That's no different than your nation. You can't do that to your nation. People should have a purpose. People should have a reason. And you say, well, don't you care about poor people? Somebody said, hey, there's like 50 million Christian Chinese people. Do you want to just import them all into America? And I said, no, not necessarily. And frankly speaking, you know, if you have a boat that can only fit so many people on it, it's going to be bad if you overcrowd the boat. You might just sink the entire boat and kill everybody on the boat. What's the point? You know, I told them, hey, look, if there's 50 million people drowning in the sea, I can't save all of them. Now, if I could save a few, maybe I would try. But let's just be honest. We cannot import every single person in the world that's poor into our country. It would destroy our country. Just like you can't personally pay for every poor person's meal. What if just every single poor person in the whole world, you're going to feed them right now? How are you going to do that? It doesn't work that way. We as a collective have to help the poor. We have to help one person or two person or what we can do on an individual level. But we as a collective, you know, have to take these responsibilities. And, you know, some people are just not going to be well-to-do. Some people are going to live in an impoverished situation. People are going to live all over the world. And I think this is what we should do. We should get on a plane ourselves and go over there and give them the gospel. But you know what I can't do? I can't import all of them to live in my house. I can't import them all to live in your house. So the reality is, not everybody gets to come to America. They should have a purpose, right? They should have a reason to be here. And why in the world would we import tons of people in our nation to weaken it? Why would we import false religion to weaken it? Who in the world would want to weaken our nation? People that are the enemies of Christianity. And when it comes to our laws, these people are also not only importing these people, they're giving them handouts, which is just open communism, open Marxism. It's just a war. We're literally at war. There is a literal war going on where they're taking your money, your tax dollars, and just giving it to illegal people to come into our nation. You are literally funding your own destruction right now. We all are. And this is a very unbiblical precedent. Look at Exodus chapter 12, look at verse 48. And when a stranger shall sojourn with thee and will keep the Passover to the Lord, let all his males be circumcised, and then let him come near and keep it. And he shall be as one that is born in the land, for no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof. This is how you make someone a citizen. How do you make someone a citizen? They have to agree with your ideology. Did you notice that? It didn't say when someone comes to live amongst you and just wants to, they want to keep the Passover. Meaning what? They want to become a Christian. If they want to become a Christian, now they can be a citizen. If they don't want to be a Christian, no citizen. And you know what? That should be the same in America, that, hey, if you don't want to be under our particular religious viewpoint, well, we don't want you to be here. Now, that doesn't mean they couldn't visit. That doesn't mean they couldn't have tourist visas and things like that. But I'm just saying, generally speaking, if you're going to have a strong nation, you cannot allow people to join as citizens that are not of the same religion. You can look up in history, Rhode Island had two Jews that were all wanting to become citizens so that they could vote and be a part of Rhode Island. And the Supreme Court of Rhode Island vetoed them and said, no, because you're not Christian. Is a huge historical case where they said, no, you're Jew. You don't, and not from an ethnic perspective, a religious perspective. They said, hey, you're not a Christian. No, we're a Christian state. Look it up. That's the right move. Yep. You know what's the wrong move? When later other places decided, yeah, let's let other religions become citizens. Let's let other religions vote. Let's let other religions start and form their churches here. And we just saw a slow degradation of our nation to the point where it's unrecognizable anymore. And what does the Democrats want? They want illegals to vote. I mean, they're open about it. They want illegals. That's the weirdest thing. It's weird because they're just saying, we want to cheat, and nobody's holding them accountable for it. It says in verse 49, one law shall be to him that is homeborn and unto the stranger that sojourneth among you. Even if someone's not a citizen, everyone should still be under the same rules. And it's sad is that we have veterans, we have singles that are struggling, we have widows that are struggling, we have elderly people that are struggling, and the government's giving them virtually no assistance, and then they're importing able-bodied men and giving them money. Wow. This is like the Christians today that are enabling homeless people by giving able-bodied men money. It's a horrible thing. We're destroying our nation, we're destroying our country. And then, of course, the Democrats' position will let them eat the cats. They're so out of touch. You just have to understand that our nation is being destroyed before our eyes. Yeah. Now, I don't say that to make you feel warm and fuzzy inside. I just want you to know that that's the reality. And, you know, you can hang on to the idea of America in your mind, but you're literally watching it crumble before our eyes. And I would love for that to stop, and I'm all for people trying to help it stop. But let's be honest, the only thing that will stop it is Christianity. The only thing that will turn the tide for our nation is getting more people saved and getting more people woken up and influencing those Christians to make bold stands. For those Christians to get into the spiritual fight and to speak vocally. But I don't hear, the political situation, there's almost nobody that's even advocating to bring us back to being a Christian nation. Very few. And even of them, they're very watered down Christians. They're not really advocating for the King James Bible. They're not advocating for biblical laws. They're not advocating for us to go back. There's people like Donald Trump saying, I disavow Project 2025. Which I'm thinking, like, Project 2025 is not even that great. But it was at least in the right direction and the right path. And it's just sad to see how no one is even trying to get us on the right path. You know what that tells me? I should stop worrying about saving America as a nation, and I should care more about getting people saved. Because our nation is crumbling before our eyes. But you know what we can do? We can get a bunch of people saved around us. And even if America crumbles, that does not mean that our area has to crumble. That does not mean that our church has to crumble. We may see in the next 4, 10 years, who knows, America becoming horrible as a nation, getting worse, but our church getting better, but our families getting better, but our lives being better, our neighbors being better. And we have the ability to influence our circle and our area of life. Nations come and go. Governments come and go. Politicians come and go. These things change all the time. But you know what? You can have a major impact on your life and your situation. And you know, for the immigrants out there, we need to stop it. But they're there. And if I go and I knock on the door and it's a Haitian and he's eating a cat, I'm going to say this. If you die today, you're 100% sure you go to heaven. Amen. Now, here's the thing. Am I mad about the fact that they imported this person and that he has a false religion? Yeah, I don't like it. But, hey, maybe I can get him saved. Hey, you know what? I'm against the Jews bringing slaves over on the ships. But, hey, if I could have walked up to a slave and said, hey, if you die today, you're 100% sure you go to heaven, that's what I would have done. Yeah. And I would have given them the gospel. Maybe I would have been like some men in our country that bought slaves on purpose to free them. You know, there were Christians that would buy slaves to treat them well because they didn't want other people to own them. And then they say, like, oh, this person owned slaves. Well, why did they own them, though? Maybe they owned them so that they could treat them nicely. Maybe they owned them so they could get them saved. Maybe they owned them so they could free them. Some people don't even understand that many people bought slaves on purpose to do that. And then we look back in history and say, receipt of sale, they bought a slave, they must be a bad person. That doesn't even make them a bad person. Am I saying let's own slaves? No. Okay, someone's going to cut that out and be like, Pastor Shelley's going to buy slaves or something. It's like, oh my goodness. You know, I'm for the immigrant, but I'm against importing people and immigration when it's not a Christian. Is that a controversial viewpoint? I don't know, but it makes sense biblically. And, you know, even though this may not change any policy, even though no government official would probably want to ever hear me speak, it's still important for us to understand these principles and for us to have the right philosophy. And even if we can't affect the foreign policy, let us at least, you know, preach the gospel to these people and get them saved. And whatever negative consequences happen, we can say, well, all things work together for good. I can't go to Haiti anytime soon. I don't want to go, but I could probably get some Haitians saved. So let's do that. All right, let's close in prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, so much for helping us to just understand the world that lives around us. And even if our governments are evil and wicked and making bad policies, well, it could give us the opportunity to get someone saved. And I pray that we'd have the right mindset when it comes to our world, to our country, to our nation. I pray that we would try to keep ourselves safe in a dangerous world, but we could also use our opportunities to give someone the gospel. And I pray that we would have the right mindset when it comes to these difficult topics. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Let's go to our final song of the evening. It's going to be 238. Song 238, Christ Liveth in Me. First,
once far from God and dead in sin, no lie my heart could see, but in God's word the light I
Democrats want the immigrants to eat dogs, which represents a false gospel. Let us give them the lamb, which represents the true gospel. You are dismissed.